Hey, good morning, church family, and everyone that is viewing today. Happy Easter. I hope every single one of you and your loved ones are doing well during this season. I got to tell you, I can't wait to see you in person. We're hoping that day is going to be sooner than later. We love you guys, and we miss you, and just looking forward to that moment. Hey, before we get into God's Word today, and I'm ready to get there because we're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But before we do, let's go ahead and let's have a prayer together here this morning. Father, Lord, I'm just so grateful for you. We're so grateful for Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. We're thankful, Father, for what this day represents. I know, Father, Lord, for all of us, it feels quite a bit different than what we're used to. But Father, that's okay because we know that your presence is with every single one of us. I pray, Father, Lord, there's an anointing upon my words right now. I pray there's an anointing, God, upon every single person that is viewing this. I pray that there is an anointing in the atmosphere of their homes. I pray that, Father, Lord, God, as the word is spoken, that, Father, Lord, you'll minister to every single individual. I pray that people are renewed in their spirits. I pray that they are renewed in their hearts and in their minds. I pray that, Father, Lord, God, that you would strengthen each and every single person. Father, you're so good to us. We love you, and we thank you for this day in which we celebrate. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, church family, and for every single believer, today represents the foundation of our faith. Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. He is our healer. He is our provider. He is our protector. He is our friend. And he is our soon returning King. Today, what I want to do is I want to get right into the resurrection story. In doing so, I'm going to take you to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27 and chapter 28. Now, before we read together, let's back up just a little bit in the moments leading up to this. First, I want to take you to the Garden of Gethsemane. We know that it was at the garden where Jesus would confirm his decision to give his life for all humanity. It was also in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus would be strengthened for the agonizing and horrific hours that he was about to endure. It was also at Gethsemane where the Father's plan of salvation for all, it would be propelled into motion. When you think about the Garden of Gethsemane, what I want you to think about is that before Resurrection Sunday, there had to be that moment in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then we have the trials. We know that Jesus, he was seized and he was brought before Caiaphas, the high priest. The chief priest and the council, they sought false testimony to condemn Jesus to death. He was accused of blasphemy. He was struck multiple times. He was spat upon. He was mocked by his accusers, and his accusers were his own people. The next morning, we know that Jesus, he's placed on trial before Pilate, the Roman governor. And by custom at the Passover feast, we know Pilate, he gave the choice for one prisoner to be released. In this case, it was either going to be Jesus or Barabbas. The crowd chose Barabbas while shouting that Jesus be crucified. Jesus was severely flogged by order given to the Roman soldiers. And then a crown of thorns was placed upon his head as he was also being mocked. We know that before Jesus rose from the tomb, that he had to endure the torture and the unjust trials. And then we move to the cross. The cross was horrific in every single manner that we can imagine. However, when we think about Jesus, not once while Jesus was upon the cross did he show signs of giving up. Not once did he consider calling down a multitude of angels to come and rescue him. Not once did he deviate from his Father's plan. Not once did he demonstrate anger from what he had to experience. Not once did he utter words of condemnation to his accusers, those who mocked him, those who insult him, and nor did he utter words of condemnation to the soldiers who carried out the crucifixion. Instead, he spoke words of mercy and grace and forgiveness. Before victory could be proclaimed, the cross had to be endured. I say to you this morning, thank God for the cross of Calvary. For now, today, on this Easter Sunday, that we can celebrate Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Because I want to tell you something, it's just as real today as it was when it first happened. What I want to do is take you back to those moments. You can go with me to Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to pick it up in verse number 50, where we're getting to the final moments of Jesus being upon the cross. And the scripture says, And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and he yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple, it was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep, they were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city, and they appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what had taken place, they were filled with awe, and they said to one another, "Truly, this was the Son of God." There were also many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Joseph, the mother of sons of Zebedee. Now, when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate, and he asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. Joseph took the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen shroud, and he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb, and he went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate, and they said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days, I will arise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went, and they made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Let's go ahead and move into chapter 28, and let's read just those first 10 verses there. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled, and they became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear, but also with great joy. And they ran to tell the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" I read this, and I gotta say, just amen. Through the resurrection power of Jesus, victory was secured. Because of Jesus and because of his resurrection power, each and every one of us are able to live in such a manner where we have this incredible hope inside of us, knowing that in all matters of life, you and I can walk in the victory of Jesus Christ. You see, this victory wasn't just for Jesus Christ alone, but for every single person who would choose to place their faith in Jesus and have him as their Lord and Savior. I want to tell every single person, to my church family, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, whatever day you may be viewing this, if you will choose to put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can walk in the victory in which he gives. Just for these next few moments, I want to talk about that victory that we have in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. The first one is this. That is, we have victory over every barrier between God and our lives. When we go to Scripture, we see something pretty magnificent that takes place. The veil that was there in the Holy Temple, it had been torn from top to bottom while a great earthquake was taking place. Now, when we speak of the veil, Jewish history will tell us that it was in the temple, and it was 82 and a half feet high, 24 feet wide, and it measured about 4 inches in thickness. Now, someone's not just going to go up to that and just rip it in two. And even if they could, they would have to start from the bottom and go up. So when God did this, he did this in a very emphatic way. You see, God responds to the crucifixion of Jesus by tearing the veil from top to bottom. In doing this, He is opening the Holy of Holies in the temple for every single individual. I really hope you understand this and you consider this truth as you celebrate Easter with me here this morning. You see, by tearing apart the curtain that separated everyone but the high priest from entering the holiest of holies, God was letting us know that his dwelling presence was now available for all who would come to him through his son, Jesus Christ. Again, I have to step back and just say, thank you, Jesus, for making forgiveness available for every single one of us. Thank you, Jesus, and no matter what hour it is, no matter what moment it is, no matter what's going on in my life, I can come to you. I can come directly to you, and I know that you hear, and I know that you listen. I know that you care. I know that you are for us. I know that you want your victory to be alive inside of our lives. I'm so thankful for Jesus and just for us being able to go to him at any moment, at any time. You see, we can enter into the Holy of Holies at any time because Jesus, we know, is interceding on our behalf at the right hand of God. I've got several scriptures this morning. Those of you that know me well, I love just to go to the Word of God because the Word of God, it is alive. It is powerful. The Word of God is which transforms our lives. So we see in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, scripture says, "Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us, and he was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, and he is pleading for us." He's pleading for you and I. We go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19, and the scripture says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-changing way through the curtain into the most holy place." I'm so grateful that we can come to Jesus just as we are, anytime, any moment, and he is there for us. Also, the scripture will tell us there's no longer any need of this repeated ritual. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 28 says, "Unlike those other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices every single day. They did this for their own sins first and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus did this once for all when he offered himself as a sacrifice for the people's sins." You see, the way that I view that is redundant and empty religion, it had been done away with, and it had been replaced with a genuine and abiding relationship with God. We go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and it tells us that we will know him because he will dwell within our lives, that he will always be with us. That is the power of the cross. That is the power of Jesus Christ rising from the grave, that now you and I, any moment, any time, we can go to him and know that he is right there on our behalf. You see, through the resurrection power of Jesus, we have victory over every barrier that would hinder us from knowing him in a very personal way. I want to tell you this morning, if you know Jesus and if you choose to put your faith in him, you can count on this. We are forgiven. We are accepted as we are. We are made holy and righteous in the eyes of God, and we have God's very presence dwelling within our lives. You know, nothing can separate the love that God has for us. Romans tells us that. Nothing can separate the power that he wants to flow in and through our lives. I mean, God cares about us just as we are, and he wants his resurrection power to be within every single one of us. And I pray today that you will just allow that to take place. I know even in the season we're in, not even COVID-19 can separate us from God's presence and his love that he has for each and every one of us. The second thing I see here this morning, that is, in the resurrection power of Jesus, there is victory over every sin that attempts to defeat and destroy our lives. Because of Jesus, because of the cross, and because of the resurrection, sin is forever defeated. The scripture tells us, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, "For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and who forgave our sins." Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all of our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. We can go back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. It will tell us our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for all of our sins, good for all time. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says, he himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. You see, for every person watching, no matter where you are, who you are, or even what day you're viewing this, if you believe in Jesus, if you will confess your sins, if you will accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are forgiven, your sins are remembered no more, and there is no reason for sin to ever have power over your life. You see, you have complete victory in Jesus Christ. This is Easter. This is Resurrection Sunday. This entire day represents victory, and the victory that he gained by rising from the grave, by defeating death, hell, and the grave, he has given that victory to you and I. And I pray this morning that you can embrace that you can believe in that you can walk in that, and you will not allow anything to keep you from being who God wants you to be in Christ. You see, sin no longer has dominion over our lives. Romans chapter 6, verse number 6. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. You go down to verse number 10 and it says, when he died once to break the power of sin, but now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. I really love what the writer gives us in Hebrews as I go back there once again. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14, it says, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings that you and I do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Wow, I'm so grateful for that. Through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, we have victory over sin, and we have victory over the power that it once held in our lives. Church family and all of our friends out there, I've got to tell you, we need this. We need this because every single one of us, we were born sinners. I know in my own life, if I was just to review it just a little bit here this morning, there's going to be those moments where it was pretty dark. There was going to be those moments where I just felt like giving in. There was going to be those moments where, you know, my faith was really wavering and I was just making a lot of poor decisions and life was going in a really, really bad direction. But I thank God because through his mercy, through his grace, through certain circumstances, he grabbed my attention. He let me know how much he loved me, and he let me know that all of those sins, all those mistakes, all those failures, all the stuff and all the junk that was in my life, that if I would just come to him and confess them and just look to him, that he would show me and he would demonstrate his love to me, and that I would experience the forgiveness in which he gives to every single one of us. I'm so grateful that I don't have to worry about my sin and my past and my failures. And I don't have to worry about trying to be this perfect individual because there's nothing that I can do in my life that's going to make me good enough to go to heaven or good enough to be a child of God. The only way that happens is because of the cross of Calvary and because Jesus rose from the grave, because he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And because of Jesus, I have a life that's right with God. I'm holy in God's eyes. I'm righteous in God's eyes, not in my own doing, but because of Jesus and because of the victory in which he gives us in our lives. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for that victory. I stand here today on this Easter Sunday morning, and you know, it's hard because I want to be with you. I want to be with you so much in person, but right here online, I just want to be able to proclaim, I'm thankful for the victory that he gives us, that we do not have to hold our heads down, that we can look up and that we can have joy and that we can have peace and we can know that our sins are forgiven and we are no longer under sin's authority, sin's power. We don't have to be controlled by sin's dominion or any type of addiction. We can walk in the victory of Jesus Christ. Today represents victory over sin, victory over death, victory over the things that try to destroy our lives. I'm so thankful for Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Also want to just talk to you about one more thing here, that is, in the resurrection power of Jesus, there is victory over death and the grave. You see, death and the grave do not have the final word. A few weeks ago, I believe I made that statement in one of the messages, is that Jesus has the final word over our lives. No matter what happens, no matter what takes place, no matter what circumstances we're in, Jesus has the final word. You see, the sting of death has no power over us any longer. At the resurrection of Christ, an emphatic illustration was given for us all to see. Matthew chapter 27, we read it together. Verse 52, it records this. It says, the tombs were open and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep, they were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and they appeared to many. That's a pretty emphatic illustration of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. You see, to those who accept Christ, death and the grave have no power over our lives. Many of you know it well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 54 says, then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the resurrection power of Jesus, you and I are given the opportunity every single day to walk in Him, to walk in that resurrection power, to walk in that peace, to walk in that hope, knowing that He's got our present in His hands, and also knowing that He's got tomorrow in His hands. He's got our eternity in His hands. What an awesome truth to consider this morning as we celebrate the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Church, this morning, this Easter Sunday, I want to tell you, we have much reason to celebrate. For again, no matter what you and I are going through right now, no matter what is surrounding us, we are victorious in Jesus Christ. We are victorious in the life in which He gives us. We can rise each day with purpose. We can rise each day with power. We can rise each day with a renewed heart and a renewed mind. We can rise each day with hope. And we can rise each day with the victory of Jesus Christ upon us. Today, I hope, right there in your home, right there with your family, that you can celebrate and you can proclaim victory in your lives. Now, first and foremost, I pray that you can proclaim victory in your spiritual life. May every single individual who is viewing this, may you know Jesus in a personal way. I pray you've said that prayer. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. If you do that, you can proclaim victory. I really pray that every single home, every single family, every single husband and wife, mom and dad and child, whoever you may be, I pray that you can proclaim victory over your home. Again, our minds are heavy with the thought of what's going on in our world. With the coronavirus shutting everything down and with all the things that's disrupted our lives, I know there's just a lot that we're thinking about this morning. And again, I know this feels quite a bit different than not being in the house of God on Easter Sunday. But I just pray that no matter how dark the days may be, no matter how heavy it still may be, no matter, I know there's some of you are probably just going a little bit stir crazy, you're just ready to get out. You know, no matter what we've got before us, church, let's just keep holding on to our faith and let's keep proclaiming victory. Let's Let's proclaim victory in Jesus. Proclaim victory over this virus. Proclaim victory over being separated. Proclaim victory over all the things that are trying to take us out. And let's believe and let's know that the day is coming when we're going to be together and we're going to continue on in life and we're going to move with God and we're going to move with His power. We're going to move in His promises. We're going to fulfill the things that He has begun in our lives. I believe coming out of this, we're going to be stronger than ever before. I believe coming out of this, we're going to be able to proclaim Jesus like never before. I believe that our perspective is changing. I believe there's a work that's taking place in all of our lives. And I just pray that there is some victory that's taken place in this time where we've really been pulled back and we've been isolated. We've had a lot of time to think and a lot of time to kind of consider what's happening in the world. I pray that when we come out of this, that we are victorious and that we are stronger than ever on this Easter Sunday morning. Let's proclaim victory in Jesus Christ. Let's celebrate Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Let's worship Him. Let's honor Him. Let's give Him all glory. Let's give Him all the praise in which He deserves. Let's not hold back. Even though we're not together in person, let's not hold back right there where you're at. Let's give Him all the glory in which He deserves. Man, I love you. Michelle and I miss you. Again, we can't wait to see every single one of you here in hopefully just a few weeks. I believe God's got some incredible things in store for our lives. Before we go on this Easter Sunday morning, allow me to have a prayer over you. Father, again, I thank you, God, for the moment that I have just to be able to share your word. I thank you, Father, Lord, for the truth of your word, the power of your word. I thank you for the hope that it gives us. The encouragement, Father Lord, that it pours into us. I thank you, Father Lord, just for the power of your word that continues to shape our hearts and shape our minds. I'm so thankful, Father Lord, for your word. I want to pray, Father Lord, just over everyone, all of my church family, and every single one that's watching this. I pray, Father Lord, that they are victorious. I pray that they will know who they are in Christ. I pray that, Father Lord, that their hearts and their minds are guarded. I pray that, Father Lord, their spirits are strengthened and renewed each day. And I pray that, Father Lord, together we continue to walk in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father Lord, for those that are just struggling. And even before the coronavirus, attacked us in such a manner, there were struggles. There were real struggles that were out there, and there's real struggles that are still happening. I pray that, Father Lord, that people can look up and they can just grab a hold of their faith in you and they can proclaim victory and they'll have victory in their lives. I pray victory, Father Lord, over their spiritual lives, victory over their physical lives, victory over their total well-being, Father Lord, their emotional health, their mental health. I pray victory, Father Lord, over every single one. We thank you, Father Lord, for such a powerful truth. We thank you, Father Lord, for such an amazing power that abides within us because of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful, Father Lord, that every single day, every single moment, the power, the word, the things in which we have talked about today, the things that we have read from Scripture, that is very much real. And it's alive inside of every single one who chooses to put their faith, their hope in you. So I pray over everyone. Father, your hand, your blessing, Father Lord, your provision, your protection, your power, and may each and every one of them be prospering in their lives. Father, I love you. I'm so grateful for what this day means. I'm so grateful, Father Lord, that we can proclaim it with just knowing, Father Lord, that your hand is upon every single one of us. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, church family, I love you. I miss you. I can't wait to see you. Happy Easter. I pray that you have a super blessed day.
Thanks for joining us. A few things before we go. Our offices are currently closed, but if you need any assistance or prayer from the church, please give us a call at 918-486-3110 and leave us a voicemail. You can also find out the latest videos and news by checking in on our Facebook page. And you can still give your tithes and offerings online at agcoweta.generush.org. We love you and we hope to see you soon.